This episode of the Blockhash Podcast is sponsored by my friend Tiger at itztiger.music on Instagram. He does all the audio tracks for the Blockhash Podcast. He's on Spotify, SoundCloud, and iTunes. Go check him out. The podcast is also sponsored by Day and Night, the ultimate revolution in vaping batteries, the double-bladed lightsaber of vaping. Why enjoy one flavor when you can enjoy two flavors at the same time? Go check them out on Instagram at Day and Night Battery. But wait, the podcast is also sponsored by Bengali, the new hip clothing brand that is about to take Medellin by storm. Quality clothing for men that fits right and that is stylish at the same time. I love it. I got tons of it, and you'll see me wearing it on the podcast. Get yours now. Go to bengali.shop on Instagram. Lastly, be sure to sign up for the Blockchain Insider newsletter. For only $250 a month, you will get weekly updates on the crypto market, my top investment picks, and advanced analysis to help you make better informed investment decisions. You can't put a price on that. So go click on the link in the description and sign up today. Hello, everybody. It is Friday, June 25th, episode 146. And today I have Tomer Afek, CEO of Space Mesh. Space Mesh is a decentralized platform based on a novel block mesh rather than a blockchain type of structure. We talk about their use of the proof of space-time concept to better understand their protocol, how it works, what their goal is, and ultimately what Space Mesh is going to be used for. So with that said, be sure to subscribe and share this episode with somebody that you think would like to learn more about blockchain, crypto, Space Mesh, and Tomer. Enjoy. Tomer, right?
Yep.
Tomer, welcome to the Blockhash Podcast. Appreciate you taking the time to be here today to talk about Space Mesh and crypto and all kinds of cool stuff. So how you doing? What's up?
Brilliant, man. Thank you very much for having me. Excited to be here, and these are exciting times in general. So I'm excited.
Yeah, glad to have you on. So before we, you know, jump in and start talking about Space Mesh, tell me a little bit about yourself. I'm curious, what's your background like? How did you get into, you know, this industry? How did you get from where you were before to Space Mesh? Just give my audience a little bit of background on like who you are.
Yeah, my childhood wasn't easy for me. I was like a weird child a little bit, and I couldn't really fit in. And just starting up in life was difficult, extremely difficult for me. And then at some point I've became a venture capitalist. I've become a part of a VC fund where I've grew and became a partner in this fund. And I have later left that fund to become an entrepreneur, felt the need to do something with my own hands. And that's been a successful endeavor for me. And when I sold my company and I was contemplating what's next for me, I stumbled upon the Satoshi Nakamoto white paper, and it became clear to me that this is it. This is where I want to spend the rest of my life. And it touched upon two things which I felt deeply passionate about, which is like social justice and basically technology and complicated code missions. Those two things are two passions of mine. And this led me to research who is most famous cryptographer out of Israel that I can connect with. And I got to Tal Moran, Professor Tal Moran, which is the inventor of the Space Mesh protocol. He later added Dr. Ido Bentov from Cornell, and the four of us, Aviv Eyal, my partner, myself, and Professor Moran and Dr. Bentov, are the founding team of Space Mesh.
Very cool. Where are you based? Where are you living right now?
So I'm based out of Tel Aviv, Israel, and the team is very, very diverse. We have people from Russia, Chile, India, Vancouver. So yeah, there's just we have a very inviting work from home type of an environment in the company. You're free to choose the coding task that you'll be working on, and you change the people with whom you're interfacing on the code all the time, and just getting this culture right was right. Really the very essence of being able to execute this properly.
What's it like living in Israel? Have you been there most of your life, or is that a relatively new place for you? Or
you know, I'm Israeli by nature. I was born here. It's sad, man. Just sad. I am not. I don't feel morally okay with what my government is doing, but no one is asking me. Mm-hmm.
Is it tough to deal with that? Like, do the people have a problem with the government there, or is it just kind of, you know, just normal?
I can't say it's tough. It actually feels quite like a privileged place mm-hmm. on many fronts. This isn't present in your day-to-day life very much. So for some people, it's very easy to just ignore that. But mm-hmm. other people pay a lot of attention and they protest and they try as much as they can to resist. But there's more than half of the country that believes these are terrorists and ought to be sort of, you know, dealt with in the exact way that the government is.
Yeah, I know tech is a really big part of Israel. I've seen a lot of great startups come out of there. Is that feel like a very tech-friendly place living in Israel?
Yeah, very much so. The startup nation was this ecosystem that has been built to support entrepreneurs in multiple fronts, and this has became the secret of Israel success in a sense, this agile mentality of building loosely and not needing to tie down to hierarchical structures mm-hmm. is a bit of the what's we innovated most importantly on how to build companies rather than on any particular endeavor. That's what I'm trying to say.
Gotcha. So let's talk about Space Mesh a little bit. I'm curious, you know, what it is exactly. I don't know too much about it. So tell me what is it? And then like, what's the goal behind it? Like, what's the mission are you guys trying to do with Space Mesh?
Yeah, great question. When we started Space Mesh, Bitcoin was essentially the only game in town, and Ethereum was just getting started. And at the time, there were many people that were thinking of proof of stake, potentially as something that would push blockchain further into less waste and more transactions per second, and so on and so forth. I think Professor Moran was wise enough to explain to me already then why this isn't a move forward, but rather somewhat of a move backward from a decentralization standpoint, and why this idea of having a scarce resource from the, you know, something that is spread out already in the world, in existence, and a huge market that the price will not move very easily is so much more secure than anything like self-referential type loops. But it was important to be not as wasteful as Bitcoin in the sense of energy, if that energy is in fact not green. So the everything to do with space mesh is an aim to stay or iterate closer to the original promise that everybody will be able to mine from home. I think this is a crucial kind of part of the magic internet money vision, because when Bitcoin was like that, when everybody could mine from home with no fancy gear, there was something very special. There was something very early. I think Bitcoin lost that as a part of the mining industry getting industrialized. This hindsight is what we have. Getting into inventing space mesh is something that will not suffer from the same sickness. And in order to do that, in order to not use leader election, in order to do something else, we had to separate the idea of the rewards from the idea of the security. And in Bitcoin, as you know, they're tied very strongly together. And in space mesh, if you want to part ways with this lottery, and if you want to make sure that a lot of people are being rewarded as opposed to a single winner, you need to come up with a whole qualitatively different blockchain. And indeed, this is what Space Mesh has been working on over the past 4 years. This is a combination of proof of space time with a block mesh as opposed to a blockchain. And those two combined brings about a very innovative property, which doesn't exist right now in any of the existing blockchain, which is that it guarantees to remain open for an individual miner to come in and mine and essentially participate. And
let me touch on something real quick. You mentioned proof of space time. What is that exactly? Because, I mean, I've heard of proof of work and proof of stake and proof of burn and all these different things. But what's proof of space time?
Proof of space time refers to the idea that you will be storing some kind of cryptographic garbage on your drive for a certain amount of time. So let's say 500 gigabytes for 2 weeks. So if you think about this as a resource, the combination or the multiplication of time and an amount of storage. So this stands as a resource, and that resource is what you are spending as opposed to work. That means that if you want to essentially earn twice the amount of the rewards, you need to have exactly twice the amount of storage. But what is unique here again is the fact that, like in lottery tickets, it is okay if you buy one ticket or 100 tickets or even 10,000 tickets if you think that's a good deal, but you are not improving your chances with scale and with size, so you are bending the curve. Okay, the curve remains linear in the rewards, so you will always get precisely your fair share, and I think that's the most you can ask for from a blockchain. If you are considering to mine something, you want to know, A, that you will be paid frequently, and B, that you will be paid fairly against your contribution. And we can guarantee those two like no other blockchain. And for example, if you look at Chia right now, if you try to mine Chia with a small drive, the expectancy of a reward is like 2 years or something like that. And yeah, I mean, So in Spaceman should be played every 2 weeks in Hashem, and this is dramatic of a difference in that only a sort of non-competitive protocols where the reward isn't directly tied to the fact that you are right deciding on this particular block that this kind of improvement is available.
How can someone use Space Mesh, like if they wanted to apply it or use it today, like would they just go to the website if they wanted to get started using it, or is there type a platform or application, or
let me address your question with your permission slightly in a more round way. I think Space Mesh is meant for younger generation. It is meant for a more creative people and not necessarily only the elite cognitive brain. It meant so it's as easy to use as operating your messenger, and it doesn't require any coding skill. In fact, it's you can go to spacemesh.io right now, you can download the testnet, you can try it on a Windows or on a Mac OS or on Unix, and it's very intuitive, and also it doesn't require any special hardware, okay? So your standard home PC will do. And what people can do with spacemesh is they can, to begin with, mine it. So all they need to do is leave their PC open and it will accumulate money for them. And doing this from Genesis early on will probably be a very beneficial endeavor. And then once smart contracts and DAOs and other things are available for us, there is a load of plans that are coming from Space Mesh very soon. One of which I can already share, is called C3. C3 is about the combination of community, creation or creative or art, and collaborative. So if you think about collaborative creation inside a community, this triangle is, I believe, a portal to a new future. People are building on NFTs, regenerative business models that are not win alone type stardom that you have right now, but rather win with your group and win for something that you really care about. And I believe this idea of how to utilize the artistic, the creative, in order to build real life solution to real life problems, and utilize not only Western privileged kids, but also other cultures and other perspectives while going about that. Mm-hmm. This is my dream, and this is what I believe will be the ultimate true calling, let's call it, of this technology. Mm-hmm. That you will be able to codify values, culture, norms, taboos, etc., as part of an economic endeavor, which doesn't require you to be an asshole to your colleague or something along those lines, and focus more on how to improve myself in the sense of making myself more easy to collaborate with, right? How do I become more collaborate friendly as a human being, as a technology, as a product, and that kind of mindset is just dramatically different than a zero sum kind of winner takes all kind of games that they're been playing until now, and I'm hopeful to inspire and to but this idea of C3 is a place that you come every cohort in 6 months and you get paid a salary like a UBI in order to identify your true calling and live with as an autonomous creator that is self-sufficient financially and just by the sheer idea of non-zero sumness and synergetic values, were able to finance more and more and more and more younger generation this privileged time at the beginning of their life. Mm-hmm. And right, so this is, in my views, this is an exemplification of what I'm hoping other people will build on Space Mesh, such multicultural, multi-generational institutions, which are, you know, respective of all cultures and trying to, undo some of the mess that Russia
right. has. Let me ask you a question. You brought up UBI. I believe you're referring to the universal basic income, correct?
Correct. So UBI is a term which is used to with the idea of universal, where the universe can yeah. grow from everything, like every individual and every living thing on the planet. And it mm-hmm. can be more like even at the scope of we have 1,000 people and they're all being paid something every month, every hour, every something, doesn't matter. And right, so.
Yes, yeah, I want to get your opinion on that, because in the West, it's a very controversial topic, a very split topic. Some people like it, some people don't. But what do you think about universal basic income? Do you think it's something that's, you know, incredibly helpful for people, you know, that gives them an opportunity to get in to finance, or that gives them a chance to get off their feet and be able to do something given their situation in life? Or do you think it's something that creates too much entitlement with people? I'm just kind of curious what your opinion is on it.
I think that there is something like an orientation to be an agent of change, and something like the scarcity as a kid or as a younger adult starting off your life. If scarcity dominates your mindset, you cannot become an agent, okay? You cannot. You just have to do what you have to do in order to get to the next place that you have to do. And you're guided by what you have to do at any given point, and you end up tired at the age of 15, not where you wanted to be. So if you change nothing about how the outer world works, but you just give people some money, then the sort of leverages of the rich get richer will remain intact, and it won't move the needle in any significant way. Mm-hmm. But if there will be a decentralized, permissionless economy that can allow those with talent, regardless of who their daddy and where they're from, to shine, then I believe this non-scarcity, abundant mindset can lead to a healthier, more equal economy and society. So that's what I'm after. I think I do understand the right-wing kind of argument here, where one can say something along the lines of, let's make the game more fair constantly, as opposed to after the fact, right? Mm-hmm. Give back some of what the winners got back, right? This is like the broken liberal idea of what justice is, that after the game, they remain billionaires and you get some donations for being nice or something. So, and that is a real problem, but I believe that scarcity at the early phases of life isn't helpful in any way. What is helpful is this realization that winning together is more meaningful and more precious than winning alone, and that meaning in life and fun and other things that cannot be measured in anything, they are of plenty when you are trying to do something important with a group of people that share your beliefs, and this is your lifestyle, this is what you do. beats working for any lawyer by like gazillions. Okay, so that's
right.
Right.
You also mentioned something earlier that I also want to touch on real quick, and that's Bitcoin, you know, being or not being a very green technology, not being very eco-friendly. You touched on it briefly, but I was also curious if you had an opinion on that as well, because it's been a pretty hot topic over the last 3 or 4 weeks. And I definitely have my opinion on that, but I'm curious, what do you think? Do you think Bitcoin is really, you know, bad for the environment and is using too much electricity, or do you think it's one of those things that's overhyped and that it's, you know, it's justified because of what it does? What's your
opinion? There is no such like one-liner argument here. I think Bitcoin is using energy as a scarce resource. Should that energy be 100% renewable energy? This means that Bitcoin has zero negative to the environment. Let's say even that on the harsh case that Bitcoin is 100% green and hard drives remain something that is creating some damage to the environment, then you can argue that Bitcoin is greener than Space Mesh to the environment, and that would be a valid argument. I believe that right now we're not nearly there. I think that the vast majority of the energy in Bitcoin isn't green, and I think the idea that you have to work as hard as you can all the time or else you will lose is an idea that, again, humbly, perhaps we can do better, but only time and real life facts that are outside of anyone's control will really be the determining factors for the real damage created to the environment by any blockchain. And I just want to say that Bitcoin is amazing. And it's the by far most decentralized blockchain that we have right now. And I hope that Space Mesh and Bitcoin will belong to the same camp of really awesome, really decentralized protocols that are used all over the world with no pockets of, you know, plutocracy kind of governance or any other really bad things. And I believe with all my heart that the Space Mesh architecture will or is almost guaranteed to deliver many orders of magnitude more decentralization than what we've seen with the proof of work type distribution, where you look at the histogram and you look at the size of your muscle and you see that all the tail isn't, you know, 99%. Of the reward doesn't end there. And if you think about it from a distribution model standpoint, then you start to see what I'm saying, why there is a reasonable chance to assume that Space Mesh will distribute itself across more users and that individual home miners that will start to mine this will continue to mine this forever, because at no point will they be losing money by doing so. So that's critical, and this is what we've been working so hard to achieve. But my I find the electricity argument here to be blown out of proportion. I find that Bitcoin is achieving way more than it costs, and I am a big fan of Bitcoin. So that's where I stand.
I agree. You know, when it comes to Bitcoin, I think the argument that's overlooked is, you know, the fact that Bitcoin and mining in general, it uses a lot of cheap, low-cost, cast-off energy that's going to be wasted regardless. It's not like it's an industry that's demanding more electrical infrastructure. like a mega banking corporation or a mega tech corporation or manufacturing and textile industries. You know, it's not demanding more energy. It's using all that cast off energy. And, you know, compared to the whole banking system, it uses less energy than the U.S. banking system combined. So I think when you put it into perspective, you know, for how much energy it does use, it's probably one of the best uses of energy in the world, given the cause and given, you know, what it gives humanity and society. So when people make a big deal about it, I'm like, I don't think it's something to argue about.
I think the weakness, maybe, if there is such of Bitcoin, is the fact that the protocol has been progressing very, very slowly from an update standpoint. And I am a believer in smart contracts. I am a believer in tokens. I am a believer in DAOs. And I am very much like to see those as a part of the space mesh economy. So if I may, space mesh ideally would be a base layer, which is as robust as Bitcoin, with a quite capable smart contract computer on top, which is a combination, I don't think, is.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure it can get there. I mean, Space Mesh sounds like it's already doing some awesome stuff. And you did a really good job elaborating on that and, you know, really breaking it down and what it can do. But we're almost at the point where we're going to wrap up the podcast. So before we do that, tell me what the roadmap looks like for Space Mesh the rest of 2021. Do you guys have any major updates or plans coming out or things you want to announce or things you want, you know, the people, the audience, followers to be aware of, to look out for?
I think the action will be in the mining at the beginning. I think that something like 3 months before Genesis, the final parameters of the hashing function will be finalized, and then you can already, before Genesis start, to fill your drives with the cryptographic garbage, so that when Genesis kicks in, you can mine from the get-go. I think we'll be releasing next week the 0.2. It's a major upgrade that we're releasing into the testnet, the public testnet that has like 5,000 people in it, and it's going like crazy. And before the end of the year, Genesis will occur, and it's wise to participate in mining it from the very early days. So spacemesh.io and everything is there in order to join the Smasher army and get your gear ready. And yeah, I mean the team is very, the community at large is very passionate and very civic driven and values driven. And I, if any of those things are speaking to any of our listeners, then you're mostly welcome in our community.
Yeah, where's your community at? Like, do you guys have a Discord or a Slack or a Telegram or mostly on social media? Where should people go if they want to like get involved and talk in the community?
So when you go to spacemesh.io, one of the first things you will see is the link to our Discord. And we have a very active Discord server that is humming 24/7. And that's a great place to start and to get to know folks. We also meet regularly to see some stuff together, like lectures, the community. So, but again, being in Discord is the best way to be notified about everything, what they are doing. Community.
Okay, cool, perfect. I'll be sure to put a bunch of links in the description below as well, and make sure that people know how to, you know, get directed and do all of that. So, Tomer, thanks for taking the time to come on the podcast. Really appreciate it. You know, and then, you know, expanding a bit on Space Mesh, what it is, at a really, really cool talk. I really enjoyed learning more about it and getting more finer details. And then obviously some cool talks about Bitcoin and mining and proof of space time and a lot of cool stuff. So again, thank you. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, brilliant, Brendan. It was fun. Very relaxing kind of conversation. Enjoy the forum. Thanks.